Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
I'm going to get straight into the word so that we can pray afterwards. And, sometimes when you preach, actually quite often when you preach, you want to follow what you've said with another sermon. And it was like that on Sunday. It was almost right. Now we need another session to actually see the how to outwork the first session. And it was amazing, people coming up and saying what impact that message had had on them. But I want us to look forward to these 40 days of prayer and fasting and just see where we are now and what God wants to do during that time. If we can project ourselves towards the end of that time, what is God's purpose? God's purpose would be to revive us as his people so that we can be more fruitful, that his kingdom can advance. So, what is the key to that? And the answer to that, of course, is what God does in our hearts. And this is what, you see, God was beginning to do on Sunday, to expose hearts. Now he wants to get all the hurt and all the negative stuff out of the heart. But scripturally speaking, what kind of a heart does God want you, me, every believer to have? And I just want to give you a number of scriptural descriptions of the heart he wants for you. First of all, he wants you to have a pure heart. Because those with a pure heart will see God. They'll actually be able to see the activity of God in their lives now, not just what will happen to them eternally. Pure heart is important because a pure heart gives birth to pure thoughts, pure motives, pure intentions, and pure actions. Jesus obviously had a pure heart. And when your heart is pure, you lose your desire to sin. So there will be, during those 40 days, a great deal of purifying of hearts. That's the first thing. The Word and the Spirit working together will be purifying hearts. Secondly, David says in Psalm 51 that God does not despise a broken and contrite heart. There's a sense in which on Sunday God was preparing the way for that, because a broken and contrite heart is a repentant heart. And so as the Holy Spirit reveals the impurities, so the cleansing power of God will purify those hearts because of the repentance, because of the breaking down of the pride. A contrite heart is a heart that is truly sorry, in the sense that you no longer want to go on as you are. There's got to be a change of heart. And of course, repentance is a turning round of heart and mind. So pure hearts, broken and contrite hearts. Then God wants us to have good hearts. He likens the good heart to a good tree that bears good fruit. So it's not just the amount of fruit, we'll come to that in a moment, but the quality of the fruit that God is able to produce in the life of a believer comes from the nature of his heart. Good heart, good fruit. Because that person is a good tree. Then he wants us to have honest hearts, because an honest heart produces multiplication and great harvest. In Luke's version of the parable of the sower, he only mentions the hundredfold. And Jesus, when he's explaining the parable to the disciples, said that those who bear the hundredfold fruit are those with honest and good hearts. So an honest heart is a fruitful heart. It's a multiplication heart. And you know, we have so many promises, like the promise of multiplication over Kingdom Faith. And you can see what God's purpose is. He says, right now, all these promises, some of which we were laying hold of on Sunday, they're there waiting to be fulfilled. I just got to get the hearts right. Just got to do a work in your hearts. And then all these things that I promised, the abundance, the multiplication, everything else, you'll be able to see. So the honest heart is the good soil that produces the multiplication. Then the scripture talks about believing heart and says that the one with a believing heart is one with God. Wow, that's quite something, isn't it? And because we're one with God, then the believing heart sees the life of God and the power of God being manifested in his or her life, and therefore in his or her ministry. So we're building up quite a good picture, the kind of heart that God wants. Then he wants us to have loving hearts, because he has poured his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus makes clear that a loving heart is an obedient heart. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. And therefore, you will obey the command to love God with all your heart, to love your neighbor, and to love your brother as Christ has loved us. So you can see that what he wants to produce is this unity, this love for one another, which will command the blessing and which will enable the world to know, the world in Horsham and beyond. Then the scripture talks about having faithful hearts. And a faithful heart is one that perseveres in the purpose of God. No matter what the circumstances, we don't give up, we persevere in the word, in the promises of God. And we're to have rejoicing hearts. Thankful hearts, rejoicing hearts. rejoice always, giving thanks in all circumstances. This is a matter of the heart, because Jesus says it's according to the nature of the heart that we speak. So a joyful heart will speak joyfully. A thankful heart will speak thankfully. If there's a shortage of joy and a shortage of thanksgiving, the problem is in the heart. Something negative has got into the heart. So we can see all this is going to be fruit coming out of what God has done. And then lastly, the last one that I want to mention is a true heart. The one with a true heart draws near to God. Draw near to God with a true heart in full assurance of faith. So we're to have true hearts that are given over to God. So that builds up quite a picture. A pure heart, broken and contrite heart, a repentant heart, a good heart, an honest heart, believing heart, a loving heart, a faithful heart, and a true heart. Now, you don't need me to stand here and tell you that when you look at that list, God has got a work to do in all of us. That none of us would dare to say that we get 10 out of 10 in all of those things, because you would be Jesus if you did. So, he is going to be addressing the heart. I mean, this is always God's purpose. But the great thing about having a prolonged time of really seeking God is it gives him the opportunity not just to speak to the heart, but to do in the heart what he wants to do. It's giving him the space and time. This is the purpose of the fasting, to give him the opportunity to do in us what he wants to do. Yeah, come and sit down there. Now, of course, the scripture conversely speaks of negative things. There's a negative to all of those positives. An impure heart gives birth to wrong thoughts, wrong desires, wrong motives. All those things come out of an impurity of heart. A bad heart, as opposed to a good heart, is like a bad tree, Jesus says, that produces bad fruit. And by their fruit you will know them. So by what you see people doing, you can determine the nature of their hearts. Because their actions, Jesus says, comes from the heart. There are compromising hearts. This is what Jesus is talking about with the seed that gets planted in the soil, where the seed begins to sprout up, but other things sprout up as well, and they choke the seed, they choke the life of the kingdom, so that the seed cannot become fruitful. That's because such a believer compromises with other things in his life which prevent the end purpose, the end fruitfulness that God intends. So God will want to get all impurity out. He will want to get all compromise out of the hearts. You see, Jesus always addresses the heart of the problem. He doesn't talk about, you know, just the actions, the outward thing. The Pharisees, you see, were people that were concerned about the action. And Jesus said, well, you try to get your actions right, but your real trouble is your hearts are corrupt. And therefore, they deny Jesus. But we'll come to that in a moment. The scripture says, do not have an unbelieving heart that opposes the living God. Now, the scripture is addressing Christians there, believers, not the world. Don't lapse into an unbelieving heart. Now, you're ready to hold on to your chairs. As you know, I'm doing this sort of the topical index for the Truth Bible. It will be not Truth New Testament because it's covering the Old and New Testament. This is proving to be very, very interesting. I'm learning an exceeding great amount in the course of doing it. It's going to be very, very powerful, actually, the thing. It's going to be very, very, very useful for all serious students of the Scripture, all preachers and so on. But one of the things it's done is given me a greater understanding of certain things, which I've never sort of thought very much about, to be absolutely honest. And one of those things is blasphemy. Because in this topical index, in the back of the study version, there's just over 50 subjects. But in this topical Bible, there's 150 subjects and scriptures from the Old and the New Testament. So I've tried to cover a whole spectrum of things that are of significance, both the negative and the positive. So one of those headings was blasphemy. Now, if I asked you what you think blasphemy is, you would probably say, well, it's taking the Lord's name in vain and all of that kind of thing. And we mustn't blaspheme the Holy Spirit because there's no forgiveness for that. Now, let me tell you what blasphemy is in Scripture. Blasphemy is contradicting God. If you contradict God, you blaspheme. The reason why the disciples accused Jesus of blasphemy is they believed he was contradicting the word of the law of God. So they called him a blasphemer. And as you look at Scripture, so you see how this is outworked. For example, God's principle problem with the Israelites after they were delivered from Egypt while they were wandering around in the wilderness was blasphemy. He did not allow them for a whole generation to go into the promised land because of their blasphemy. And their blasphemy was simply this: God says it's a good and pleasant land that you can take. The people said, no, it isn't, we can't. That to God is blasphemy. Because it contradicts God and therefore undermines the authority of who God is. Now, when you understand that, it gives you a whole new take on the significance of blasphemy. Unbelief is actually, in a believer, is actually a form of blasphemy because it's contradicting God. It's saying that God is a liar. So, you know, that something else other than what God says is the truth. That's blasphemy. So I just thought I'd throw that in as a bonus for you this morning. But it sort of brings you up short when you get into Scripture. I sort of understand hell now like never before, but I won't get into that this morning. When you do a word study on hell, it's very interesting. But anyway, But another negative, obviously, that God wants to deal with is the stubborn and hard heart. Because the stubborn, hard heart resists God. And in particular, resists the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit wants to do in someone. So God's going to break down the stubborn hearts, break the hard hearts and make them broken and contrite hearts. You can see the process. And it's not a question of judging anybody, because there's work that God has to do in all of us in this. There will be different aspects of these things that will be taking place in different people, just depending on the present nature of their heart. Lastly, there's the deceived heart. The deceived heart is, of course, the product of listening to the wrong voices. However you do that. And of course, the problem with a deceived heart is the one with a deceived heart doesn't realize he's got a deceived heart. That's why he's deceived. So, for example, you know, somebody could say, there's nothing wrong with my heart. I mean, I had somebody say that to me a little while ago. My heart is right. There's nothing wrong with my heart. And everybody that was dealing with this particular person at the time could see that the real problem was that everything was wrong with his heart at that moment in what he was saying and doing. But you see, that's a deceived heart. My heart is right. There's nothing God needs to do in my heart. Well, I'll shut up. You come out here and take over then. Because what you will find is that in a time like this, God will do heart work. Now, what will be the product? Good fruit. Multiplication, harvest. And that's what God is after. That's what God is after. So everything is going to work according to his plan. I rejoiced when I heard that the Lord had laid this 40 days on Pastor Clive's heart. Because, you know, I've gone through periods of time like this many times over the years. But every time, I mean, this is the stuff of revivals. It really is. I mean, you know, you can say all kinds of things about revival. But when people begin to get really serious about seeking God and allowing him to deal with their hearts, then that's how revivals get birthed. So if you think we're in revival now, you ain't seen nothing yet, let me tell you. But out of this is going to come a whole lot more than we are seeing at present. And the great thing is, you see, that when the heart is right, God can move in and take over, which is really what happens in a time of revival, you know. It isn't so much what we do, it's what he does. And he can move in particular ways simply because he's not having to deal with our hearts. You know, there's a sense in which, right, he's dealt with the heart. He brings a people through to him so that they have right hearts before him. And then he says, right, now watch what I will do. So we're going to have an exciting year next year.
Yeah, absolutely.
And all I suggest this morning is that you don't wait for the 4th of January.
Yeah,
for this process. I believe God was just beginning, it was only just beginning, but just beginning to open up some issues on Sunday. When Pastor Clive speaks next Sunday, more will get opened up, ready in preparation. And when we begin with the three days of meeting with God, at the start of because it's first week of term, so it's meeting with God week, but the evening meetings will be in the NRC so that the church can participate too. So that will be a good launch into the 40 days. Things are going to happen then. Not that we're looking for the end product, we're looking for the beginning product. So we don't want to start sort of, you know, speaking nonsense and saying this is all going to happen in the 3 days. In those 3 days, God is going to do what is necessary to begin the process in everybody. But the process can begin in some before. And of course, the students are going to be part of this whole process too. So whatever God is doing out there in the body, he's going to be doing here in the college. So it's going to be a powerful term, next term. Hallelujah. And, you know, it was a good term, the last term. But it was becoming clear by the end of term that there are certain heart issues that need to be addressed in a number of different students. But that's fine, because that's exactly what God is about at this moment. He's really going to do a number on all of our hearts. Now, we're going to pray in a moment. I'm not going to speak for a long time. And of course, what we need to also understand is that this is not going to be a process restricted to us. These keynotes go out. People, many, many people all over the place download them, as they do with the Sunday meetings. So other moves of the Spirit are going to be initiated. There's a lot of people that will be walking through those 40 days with us. I think we just need to have that in mind too, and just be praying for the others that are being impacted at the same time. So what will come out of this is a refreshing of your heart. And due as a result, your priorities will change. Not just for 40 days, but you'll come out at the end of the 40 days with different priorities, different desires. You'll be amazed how much God can do in a period of time like that. But of course, what is vital is for us to open our hearts to Him, to do the work that He wants to do, because you know, you can be in a body of people where everybody else's heart is open except yours. And God is doing deep things in other people, but you seem to be getting left out. And this is always a question of the measure you give is the measure you get back. The more you open, yield, give your heart to the Lord, the more you will receive. The greater the work that God can do in your heart, the greater, therefore, that God will do in your life beyond the 40 days. Greater fruitfulness and so on. So praise God. A side issue is that all kinds of needs and issues in people's lives will be dealt with while this is taking place, which is good news for the pastors among you. Because, you know, the thing about pastoral needs and problems is that ultimately they always boil down to the nature of the heart, to what is going on in the person's heart. And the thing that pastors are powerless to do is to change anybody else's heart, or even to make somebody respond from their heart. This is where God will not interfere with our free will. So it's up to us, it's up to each individual to open their hearts to the Lord, to expose their hearts to the Lord, to actually want God to do in their hearts and not be the deceived people that say, oh, my heart is right. There's nothing that needs to happen in my heart. Are you with me? Okay, so let's all stand and put our books down and we're not going to pray for a long, long time this morning. But just to open our hearts to Him. I mean, you just respond to what you've heard. Just tell the Lord that you want that heart work. Purity of heart. If there needs to be any broken, contrite stuff going on, repentance. Your good, honest heart. If there's anything in the realms of faith, so you have a believing heart, a loving heart, obedient, loving others as Christ loves you, faithful heart. True heart draws near to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you that you have a merciful and a gentle heart. And you deal ever so lovingly, mercifully, and gently with us. Even though sometimes your word is like that two-edged sword that hurts us, that you are the God who wounds and then heals. Thank you that you're not going to wound anyone without healing them immediately afterwards. And Lord, we want to walk in the truth during these coming weeks. We want to be open to you, to allow you to speak into our hearts, not to deflect what you say, not to compromise what you say, but to realize that you have a work to do in each one of us for our own good, for your glory, for the welfare of your kingdom, so that we can advance in your purposes. And we just give you the glory, Lord, that all those negative things are going to pass out of our lives. That any compromising things that have grown up within us, that compromise will come to an end. That any way in which we might have divided hearts, that will cease, that you will give us undivided hearts, that we might praise your name. Yeah. So we give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise. And we thank you, Lord, that as we allow you to take us through this process, so we are going to have, by your grace, such an impact on this town, on this nation, on the nations, that you're going to do something amongst us that is going to overflow, that wherever we have influence as a people, others are going to be blessed. Others are going to come under the influence of what you're doing. And we want to give you the glory. Amen. We want to give you the honor and the praise for this, Lord. Hallelujah. Kara zata parasitu balatuba. Baratapari eletu bakarasitari santu bakarasitari santu.
Boparazatarie ledoba karasitari san. Baparazatarie ledoba karasitari san. Boparazatarie ledoba karasitari san. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Potaparia leto bakarasitari sanduma. Boparazataria leto bakarasitama. Hallelujah. Sato bakarasutaba. Yes, 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 yes. Porataparia leto bakarasitaba. And Lord, we just pray for everybody in the church here, everybody in Kingdom Faith. We pray that you will root out all blasphemy, anything in people's hearts that contradicts what you say. That, Lord, there will be a moving ahead, a raising up of the level of faith, of appropriating all that you have wanted to pour into our lives. Thank you, Lord, that instead of that stuff, you will create those good hearts that will produce multiplication. And we thank you, Lord, that as we understand what you're saying in your word, that that multiplication will come out of what you do in our hearts. That it's not just you turning up and multiplying things, but you working within us so the multiplication can take place. And we just give you all the glory. We give you all the honor and the praise. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you. It is going to be a year of multiplication.
Amen.
That we're going to forget about only 20 being saved a month. It'll be 20 a week by the end of the year. And we will have such high expectations of what you're doing. And we bless your wonderful name, Lord. We praise you. Thank you, Jesus. Sato bakara zata paria leto bakara sito. Barata paria leto bakara sitri santo bakara sito. Bopara zataria leto bakara sitri santo. On Sunday, I mentioned that testimony of Evan Thomas. That was such a profoundly important testimony. I can't emphasize that enough. Because he was saying, you know, he was living with hurt. He had closed down a whole area of his life. And it took God to show him that the real problem was not the situation, was not his brother, was not the loss of his father, but his own heart. And what he needed to do was repent. And I believe this is going to be repeated all over the body, that people that have been blaming others, blaming situation, feeling aggrieved and hurt and all kinds of things, God is going to show you. Show each one, it's your own heart. That's the problem. Get your heart right, and then your attitude will be right. You will be merciful. You will be forgiving. You will be believing. You will be fruitful. All the stuff will come out of that. So, Lord, we praise you. That even as we stand here now, we don't see all that you're going to work in us during these coming weeks. But we thank you that you have been so merciful and gracious, and you have sustained us and used us and brought us to this point, despite the things that you can see that we can't see at present. But Lord, we want you to open our eyes. We don't want to be self-deceived. We don't want to believe that we're in a place that is beyond where we are in reality. And we want you, Lord, to do that work, do that surgery work in our hearts that is just going to take out all the negatives. And thank you that by your Spirit you're going to pour in all the positives. And we just give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We thank you, Lord, for the ways in which we're going to meet with you. Yes, that Lord, we're going to have those hearts, that those true hearts that will enable us to draw near to you. Thank you for all the ways in which people are going to encounter you. Have wonderful, wonderful face-to-face encounters with you, Lord, where they're going to get the revelation of your glory, of your truth. Thank you, Lord, for the way your peace and love and joy are going to pour into people's hearts as a result of what you do. Oh, Lord, it's just so wonderful. I thank you for the healing that is going to come into people's lives. Oh, rasatu bakara sitri santo bakara sitri satu. Paratapari eletu bakara sitri santo bakara sitoba. Oh, thank you, Lord. We won't have to try to make things happen. That is all going to happen. As people expose their hearts to you, you're going to do a deep work and all those things are going to result. Oh, Father, we bless you. We praise you. We exalt you. Kuratapari eletu bakara sitri sanduma. Oh, thank you, Lord. Our worship is going to be transformed. Relationships will be transformed. Families and marriages will be transformed. The lives of the young people are going to be transformed. Thank you that nobody's going to get left out of this process, that you're going to embrace all of them. Even the children, Lord, are going to come out of it with revived hearts. And we give you all the glory, Jesus. Hallelujah. Sato bakara sito risanduba. Baparazatari eledaba. And we just pray for all those that lead the children's work and the Sunday evenings, and so that the whole thing will keep pace step by step with what you're doing with the adults, that there will be the equivalent work going on in the children, so that whole families are going to come through to a new place by the end of those 40 days. And we give you glory, Jesus. Hallelujah. Satu porazatapari eletobakarasi.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.